Glory to God. Well, God's a good God, and I'm excited about this message today. I'm starting a new series today, and it's called The Goodness of God. Hallelujah. Because God is so good. I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is a good God. He is a very good God, and God has nothing but good in store for you. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, God speaking, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Isn't it amazing? Because people, you can tell when people haven't read that verse because they have all these things that, well, God did this to me, and God did that to me, and God took my loved one, and God did this, and he's all these bad things that are attributed to God. What, you know, the insurance companies, Category 5 hurricane or tornado, what do they call it? The finger of God. It's like, where do you get that from? You didn't get it from the book. You didn't get it from the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that God is a bad God. And there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that God is killing people and God is destroying towns and God is doing all these bad things. But yet, society, humanism, right? Society's way of thinking, and even religious people accredit bad things to God. But I want to tell you, I came to preach a good message to you. Amen. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news. To go into all the world and preach the good news about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that God is a good God, and he does good things, and he has nothing but good in store for you. Right? I think we forget that there is a devil in the world that is going around. For the devil is a devil, he is a bad devil, and he's going about doing bad things to good people. Right? I think we forget about that. But I love what it says about when God anointed Jesus in Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For why? For God was with him. See, we're coming into this part of the season now. Now we've already got through Christmas. They didn't even wait till Christmas. We've already gone through Thanksgiving. They didn't even wait till Thanksgiving was over before they started playing Christmas music. Right? How many are excited about Christmas music? Right? We're excited about Christmas music. But I prefer not to hear it 365. But I do like the message. But I prefer not to hear Christmas music 365. But hey, we're coming. We're through Thanksgiving now. Now we can listen to Christmas music, right? So, you know, but Christmas is coming. And what is it? What do we talk about around Christmas time? God, Jesus says that he is Emmanuel. Who was Jesus? God with us. God with us. That's equivalent to saying good with us. Good with us, because God is good. God is love. He is good. God is everything good. In fact, James 1:17 says this. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Right? Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. So I want to talk, I want to get on this series today talking about the goodness of God, because I think we need to get our faith built up in the fact that God is a good God. I think we need to get our, we need to remember and be reminded that God is a good God. When we're going through things and it feels like, you know, all hell is broken loose in our life and this has happened and that has happened, sometimes the enemy, and what the enemy is trying to do is wear down the saints. The Bible says that the enemy comes to wear down the saints. Well, what does he do? He tries to bring all this good stuff to get your focus off the fact that God is a good God and get your focus off on all the calamity and all the lack and all the, this isn't going well and that is not going well. But if we can just keep our eyes and our mind and our heart set on the fact that God is a good God, we're going to know that it's going to turn around for our good. Romans 8 tells us this. It says that God will take what is going on in your life and he will turn it around for your good. But he says it to, watch this. He says, I will turn it around for their good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? So God, how many love God? Well, then God's ready to turn some things around in your life, amen? How many got some things you want turned around? You need turned around. You got to have turned around, right? Well, God is a wonderful turnaround God. He's a wonderful God that is able to take what the enemy meant for bad and turn it around for your good. All things work together for the good. For the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? All right, well, let's just get right into it. Go with me to Psalms chapter 31. Psalms 31, this is going to be a good word about the goodness of a very good God today. Amen? By a very good preacher. I need amens, not laughter. A little delayed, but I'll take it. I'll receive it. I'll receive it. No, listen, everything I do is by the grace of God. I wouldn't be able to be up here and breathe without God. So, hallelujah. Well, Psalm 31, verse 19. Let's look at this. This is so good. Hallelujah. You're going to hear the word good a lot in this series because God is so good. But in 31, Psalm 31 and verse 19, it says this: how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. Now, that word fear does not mean being in stark terror and afraid like, you know, somebody jumping out behind the door and scaring you. No, for those who fear you, for those who have a respect and an honor of you, right? A reverence for God. See, we live in a day and age where a lot of people, a lot of believers, they've lost that reverence. They've lost that awe of God. They've lost that standing in awe of God. That, oh my gosh, we're talking about God. I mean, it's like they have more respect from a star football player than they have for God. Right? But we need to get back to standing in awe of God because God is God. God is God. And there is no other like him. Amen. There is no duplicate. You've heard me say it many times, and you'll hear me say it many more times. God and the devil are not equal opposites. Right? God's goodness so far outweighs the enemies, the things that he tries to do in your life, that if we would just trust in God, he will lead us down the right path. If we would trust in God, he will take care of us. Watch this. It says, how great. He didn't even say how good is the goodness of God. It says, how great is the goodness, how great is the goodness you have, watch this word, I love this, stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. That reminds me of that passage in was it Psalm 23 where it says that God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. God prepares. Everybody say prepares. And here's that word again. He says, well, a different version of it. He says, you have stored up. You have stored up goodness. God is so good, and he has so much goodness to give that he has stored it up for us. He stored it up for you, and he stored it up for me. Amen. Glory to God. How great. Let's look at that word great for just a moment here. That word great. Excuse me. The goodness of God. Now let's look at that word great. So the word great. Now look at what this means. Right? This first definition is going to blow you out of your seat. Ready? The word great means great. Now that was profound, wasn't it? That was like way deep. You didn't even see that coming. Right? It's all right. Let's see what else it says. That word great means great, abundant. Abundant. Remember, we've been talking about that the last few weeks, right? John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. In abundance. That's the kind of life God wants you to have. That's the kind of a life that is available for every person. Oh, excuse me. If we could get the revelation of that, we could obliterate poverty off the planet. Could we not? God's goodness is so good that we could actually obliterate poverty off the planet. Excuse me. Stuck in my throat there. Hallelujah, but I'm healed, healthy, whole, and well in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Might as well agree with it. It's so. Amen. All right, let's look at some other words here. So that word great means great. It means abundant. It means many. It means large in number. Now think about this as we're reading this, because he says, how great is your goodness. So God wants to reveal himself and manifest himself in a great stature, in abundance, in many, in large in number, of major importance. That's what that great means. Chief, weighty, significant. Here we go. Noble, and I love this last one, princely. Princely. That's what that word great means, princely. So what does that say? God don't only want you to have enough for your four and no more, right? God wants you to have abundance so you can be a blessing to other people. Now, this message in series is not just about financial. It's not about financial giving. I didn't want it, what was in my mind, but it does include that. How many know that God wants you to have good health in abundance to the full till it overflows? You know what Jesus said about himself right before he said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life in abundance to the full and overflow? He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Amen. He is a good shepherd, and he wants to bless those that follow him. Amen. So it says, but I love that word princely, because can you imagine, would you consider someone princely who was always broke, busted, and disgusted? Always depressed, always down, always hurting, nothing ever is going good for them. I mean, that's not the life that God has for you. He wants you to have a princely life. Great. Princely is the goodness. Princely is the goodness you have. And he's talking to God. David's talking to God here. He says, princely is the goodness. How princely is the goodness you have stored up. God has so much goodness, and he has so much goodness stored up that we have not even comprehended yet. I remember Kenneth Copeland was in a meeting one time, and he told the people, he said, and there was like 1,000 people in the room, and he said, if God came in here and blessed you, blessed each and every one of you so much that you never had another need. I mean, you had more money than you even knew what to do with. You would not even tap into his capital gains. God is so good. If he came in that room and he healed every single person, he's still not going to run out of healing power. If he came into and took away all depression, all anxiety, all stress, all worry, you are not going to even make a mark on his ability to remove that for other people. It's not like God has a limited supply of health, a limited supply of wealth, a limited supply of peace, a limited supply of joy, right? You're not going to exhaust God's ability to help every single person on the planet that would be willing to receive it. If every person on the planet, and they say there's like, what is it there now? I think it's like 7 billion is the last number I heard. I think maybe even more now, but let's just go with the last number I heard. 7 billion people on the planet. If God provided for and healed and gave joy and peace and everything that every person ever needed, we would still not tap into all of his resources. That's how good God is. That's what that word great means. It means abundant, many, large in number, of great importance, chief, weighty, significant, noble, and princely. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. How many know we need to build our faith in that? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, keep your finger right there. Put a marker right there at Psalm. We're going to come back to that same area. So just keep a marker there, finger, ribbon, whatever you have, your wife's purse, your husband's wallet, whatever. But let's go over to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, you guys are not arguing about who's going to use the wallet and purse, are you? All right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And it says, this is what the scriptures mean when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared. Everybody say has prepared. Has prepared. Everybody say stored up. Another translation says laid up. Say laid up. Laid up. Right? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared. How many know that stored up, laid up, prepared is all past tense words? This is what God has already done for us. Amen. He has already stored up, laid up, prepared amazing, wonderful things no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has even imagined. And I can imagine big. I don't know about you, but I got a pretty good imagination. But the Bible says that even in all of my crazy imagination, that I have not even yet, no person has actually imagined all that God has prepared for us. But how many know he gave us a way to tap into it? Amen. He says here, now, first of all, let's understand that it's for a distinct group of people that God has stored up, he has laid up, and he has prepared something for a very distinct group of people. He has not stored up, laid up, and prepared for everybody. This is not just for anybody walking down the street. It could be if they put themselves in this group. But this is the group that it's for. For those who love him. We read over in Psalms, it was for those who fear him. Those who honor him. Those who have a respect and a reverence for him. That's who it's for. I know we like to, you know, in this day and age, we like to say, well, everything's just for everybody. And everybody could have access to it. But God's not just going to pour it out on just anybody. Just like you're not going to give the keys to your car, hopefully. And if I find out you do, I might come and talk to you. But you're not going to give the keys to your car to a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. Why? Because they have not matured to the level that they can handle that responsibility. God has so much stored up, laid up, and prepared for those who love him, honor him, reverence him, respect him. In other words, for those who have reached a level of maturity that they could handle it. How many know God wants us all to grow up? It's time for us to mature and say, you know what? I'm going after God. I'm going to grow up in God, and I'm going to get access. I'm after those keys to that storehouse. Hallelujah. I'm after the keys to the storehouse of everything that he has stored up, everything he has laid up, everything he has already prepared for me. It's there waiting for me to be able to access it. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. All right, go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Excuse me. Have to edit that out. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, and this same God who takes care of me, this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. He says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. He said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his glorious riches. We don't even have to look at this world's economy to believe in this stuff. Because God's not going to bless us based on this world's economy. Well, the economy's really down now, so he's limited in his ability to be able to bless us. Absolutely not. The only reason you are limited according to this world's economy is because your trust is in this world's economy. But Paul, by the anointing, by the way, Paul was anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak this. And he says, but my God will supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? Man, somebody should get excited about that. That is just like, man, that just lights me up. I don't have to put my trust in this world system. And it's a good thing because this world system is broken. It's messed up. It's deteriorating. But how many know, the Bible says that the government of the kingdom of God is on Jesus' shoulders, of which there is no end. How many know, God's economy has never had an off day. It's never dipped down in the stock market, right? If God's economy was on the Wall Street stock market, it would always be soaring way higher than anything else that this world has to offer. Amen? That's why it's important to invest in his economy. Glory to God. All right? So he says here, and this same God who takes care of me will supply. Man, those are powerful words. It says he will supply. But who's he going to supply it for? Those that love him, those that fear him, those that reverence him, honor him, have respect for him. That's who he's going to do it for. I say, Lord, help me to grow up. You know, I've used this illustration before. You know, when you're a kid and mom takes this jar of cookies and she puts them up on the top shelf, you can't reach them, right? So what's the solution to that? It's really simple. Grow up. You grow up. When you grow up, you won't need a ladder. By the way, there is no ladders in the kingdom of God. In other words, God's not going to allow you to access stuff that you can't really handle without reaching it the proper way. And God's proper way is growing up. He says he's even given gifts. We're in the season of Christmas. He has given gifts unto the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the PKs, and the teachers. Right? I'm just kidding. He's given the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all mature and grow and to develop to be who he's called us to be. Right? Growing up. Remember, Paul even said to one group of people, he says, I can't teach you spiritual things right now. All you can handle is baby food. Right? He says, but I want you to grow up so you can handle what God has already prepared, stored up, and laid up for you. Now, what has God already prepared, stored up, and laid up for you? That life that he wants us to live in abundance to the full till it overflows. How many feel like God's abundance is just, I mean, it is overflowing all over you and everybody around you right now? You feel like that God's is just overflowing all over? Is it? God wants it to be that way. We want it to be that way. But we've got to mature and we've got to grow and we've got to develop so that we can access all. I'm not saying God hasn't done some good things for us. Yes, he has. A lot of you have probably experienced the goodness of God. I've experienced the goodness of God. But I don't believe any of us have quite experienced the goodness of God on the level that God wants us to experience it. On the level that he has poured out for us. On the level that he has stored up, laid up, and prepared for you and for me. And that's what I want this church to access. That's what I want every person to access in your personal life, for this church. I want to access it personally for myself. I want you to access it personally for yourself. But how are we going to do that? By growing up, maturing, growing more in God, right? The Bible says that more and more grace is added unto us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God our Father. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, according to his riches and glory, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, let's go to one more verse and I'll wrap it up with this. Psalm 34, and we'll close down with this. Hallelujah. You guys get anything out of this today? I know some of this is probably a reminder for some of you, but I believe that God, every time we bring a word, that he's giving fresh revelation, fresh insight, fresh understanding. Are you believing with me for that? Listen, I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you, please, as we're going through this, be praying for me. Be praying that God would reveal more and more. And that even as I am speaking it, that God is revealing more and more to you. Did you know that a lot of what you receive, a lot of what I'm able to give is dependent upon the hearer. If you come with, you know, just an attitude of, okay, we're at church today. Okay, PK, well, how long is he going to go today? Oh, my gosh. While you're going, oh, my gosh, you just missed a fresh revelation. Right? But what if you came, I don't know how long he's going to go today. He's been trying to shoot around 35, 40 minutes, but I didn't come to hear him anyway. I came to hear from God. And I'm coming believing for the anointing, the Holy Spirit to flow through him, that God's able to get to me what he wants me to have today. Amen? Come and expecting and hearing in faith. Amen? Psalm 34 and verse 8. I love this. It says this, taste and see. Actually, I think it's King James, in the New King James says it this way. And I love this part. Oh! That's the way I read it. Taste and see. That the Lord is good. Anybody ever went to a restaurant and you tasted that and you're like, oh. That was so good. That was so good. But I love, and that's the way I read it. Taste and see that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Look at what it says here. I'm going to throw my O in there. Oh! That kind of sounded like I was in pain there, didn't it? Oh! Oh! Okay. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then it goes, oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Who? Oh, the joys of those, it's for a particular group. The joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. You know what I would do if I wasn't fearing the Lord? I'd start fearing the Lord. If I wasn't having respect for God, I'd start having respect for God. Because it says right here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Watch this. Even young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Those who trust in the Lord, that's part of fearing him, isn't it? If you have a respect for him, then you're going to believe what he says. How many know you can't respect somebody and not believe them? You can't respect somebody and not believe them, right? Oh, come on. Taste and see. Oh, the joys that the Lord, the things that God has for us, that he has laid up, that he has prepared, that he has stored up for us. Do you believe it? Yeah. Well, you can't have respect for God if you don't believe that, because that's in his word, right? He says that the lion, sometimes even the young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. He will lack no good that thing. That, what does that mean? That means that as you trust in the Lord, as you honor him, you revere him, you respect him, you believe him, that no, you will not be without any good thing. That everything that God has for you, which is good, If God has it for you, it's good. How do we know that? Every good and perfect gift, every good and complete gift comes down from God. Hallelujah. We should get up every morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I am walking in your goodness today. This is going to be a good day. Every day is a good day. People ask me when I'm driving a bus. They go, hey, Ken, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. Really? Yeah, I'm doing great. Some days are more challenging than others, but every day is a good day. Why? Because God's in it. And every day I trust him. Every day I revere him. Every day I respect him. Every day I honor him. And if I do that, I am not going to lack any good thing. Every good and perfect gift is going to come down from God for me. Every good and every perfect gift is going to come down from God for you. Amen. God, how many know God is a good thing? How many know God is a good God? That's what I meant to say. Every good thing, God, you know, whatever. But come on, every good and perfect gift. God is a good God, and he does good. He is good, and he does good. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of that today? Glory to God. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. That's all I'm going to share on that today. We got next week. But man, I'm telling you, God is good. He is good. He does good. He loves to do good to his people.